whole world, Langdon thought, as he stepped across the threshold. As always, his gaze first ascended straight up to the towering central collar, where rays of arabesque coffers curled down the dome to an upper balcony. Encircling the room, 16 bronze portrait statues peered down from the balustrade. Beneath them, a stunning arcade of archways formed a lower balcony. Down at floor level, 3 concentric circles of burnished wood desks radiated out from the massive octagonal circulation desk. Langdon returned his focus to Bellamy, who was now propping the room's double doors wide open. "I thought we were hiding," Langdon said, confused.
"If anyone enters the building," Bellamy said, "I want to hear them coming."
"But won't they find us instantly in here?"
"No matter where we hide, they'll find us. But if anyone corners us in this building, you'll be very glad I chose this room."
Langdon had no idea why, but Bellamy apparently wasn't looking to discuss it. He was already on the move toward the center of the room, where he selected one of the available reading desks, pulled up 2 chairs, and flipped on the reading light. Then he motioned to Langdon's bag.
"Okay, Professor, let's have a closer look."
Not wanting to risk scratching its polished surface with a rough piece of granite, Langdon hoisted his entire bag onto the desk and unzipped it, folding the sides all the way down to reveal the pyramid inside. Warren Bellamy adjusted the reading lamp and studied the pyramid carefully. He ran his fingers over the unusual engraving.
"I assume you recognize this language?" Bellamy asked.
"Of course," Langdon replied, eyeing the 16 symbols. Known as the Freemason's cipher, this encoded language had been used for private communication among early Masonic brothers. The encryption method had been abandoned long ago for one simple reason. It was much too easy to break. Most of the students in Langdon's senior symbology seminar could break this code in about 5 minutes. Langdon, with a pencil and paper, could do it in under 60 seconds. The notorious breakability of this centuries-old encryption scheme now presented a couple of paradoxes. First, the claim that Langdon was the only person on Earth who could break it was absurd. Second, for Sato to suggest that a Masonic cipher was an issue of national security was like her suggesting our nuclear launch codes were encrypted with a crackerjack decoder ring. Langdon was still struggling to believe any of it. "This pyramid is a map? Pointing to the lost wisdom of the ages?"
"Robert," Bellamy said, his tone grave, "did Director Sato tell you why she is so interested in this?"
Langdon shook his head. "Not specifically. She just kept saying it was an issue of national security. I assume she's lying."
"Perhaps," Bellamy said, rubbing the back of his neck.
He seemed to be struggling with something.
"But there's a far more troubling possibility."
He turned to look Langdon in the eye.
"It's possible that Director Sato has discovered this pyramid's true potential."
Chapter 47. The blackness engulfing Catherine Solomon felt absolute. Having fled the familiar safety of the carpet, she was now groping blindly forward, her outstretched hands touching only empty space as she staggered deeper into the desolate void. Beneath her stockinged feet, the endless expanse of cold cement felt like a frozen lake, a hostile environment from which she now needed to escape. No longer smelling ethanol, she stopped and waited in darkness. Standing dead still, she listened, willing her heart to stop pounding so loudly. The heavy footsteps behind her seemed to have stopped.
"Did I lose him?"
Catherine closed her eyes and tried to imagine where she was.
"Which direction did I run? Where is the door?"
It was no use. She was so turned around now that the exit could be anywhere. Fear, Catherine had once heard, acted as a stimulant, sharpening the mind's ability to think. Right now, however, her fear had turned her mind into a tumbling torrent of panic and confusion.
"Even if I find the exit, I can't get out."
Her keycard had been lost when she'd shed her lab coat. Her only hope seemed to be that she was now a needle in a haystack, a single point on a 30,000-square-foot grid. Despite the overwhelming urge to flee, Catherine's analytical mind told her instead to make the only logical move.
No move at all.
"Stay still. Don't make a sound."
The security guard was on his way, and for some unknown reason, her attacker smelled strongly of ethanol.
"If he gets too close, I'll know it.
As Catherine stood in silence, her mind raced over what Langdon had said. Your brother. He's been taken. She felt a bead of cold sweat materialize on her arm and trickle down toward the cell phone still clenched in her right hand. It was a danger she had forgotten to consider. If the phone rang, it would give away her position, and she could not turn it off without opening it and illuminating the display.
Set down the phone and move away from it.
But it was too late. The smell of ethanol approached on her right, and now it grew stronger. Catherine struggled to stay calm, forcing herself to override the instinct to run. Carefully, slowly, she took one step to her left. The faint rustle of her clothing was apparently all her attacker needed. She heard him lunge, and the smell of ethanol washed over her as a powerful hand grabbed at her shoulder. She twisted away, raw terror gripping her. Mathematical probability went out the window, and Catherine broke into a blind sprint. She veered hard to the left, changing course, dashing blindly now into the void. The wall materialized out of nowhere. Catherine hit it hard, knocking the wind from her lungs. Pain blossomed in her arm and shoulder, but she managed to stay on her feet. The oblique angle at which she had collided with the wall had spared her the full force of the blow, but it was little comfort now. The sound had echoed everywhere.
He knows where I am.
Doubled over in pain, she turned her head and stared out into the blackness of the pod and sensed him staring back at her.
Change your location, now.
Still struggling to catch her breath, she began moving down the wall, touching her left hand quietly to each exposed steel stud as she passed.
Stay along the wall. Slip past him before he corners you.
In her right hand, Catherine still clutched her cell phone, ready to hurl it as a projectile if need be. Catherine was in no way prepared for the sound she heard next, the clear rustle of clothing directly in front of her, against the wall. She froze, stock still, and stopped breathing.
How could he be on the wall already?
She felt a faint puff of air laced with the stench of ethanol.
He's moving down the wall toward me.
Catherine backed up several steps. Then, turning silently 180 degrees, she began moving quickly in the opposite direction down the wall. She moved 20 feet or so when the impossible happened. Once again, directly in front of her along the wall, she heard the rustling sound of clothing. Then came the same puff of air and the smell of ethanol. Catherine Solomon froze in place.
My God, he's everywhere.
Bare-chested, Malach stared into the darkness. The smell of ethanol on his sleeves had proven a liability, and so he had transformed it into an asset.